Next on the list of new business is the Commissioner Delegate for the Hiring Committee.
Yes, I believe Commissioner Lachine Seitz has volunteered to be on the hiring committee. And so I just wanted all of the commissioners to know that and to approve her for the hiring committee.
I'll make a motion that Commissioner Lachine Seitz be appointed to the hiring committee for the Director of Operations.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Gail, for doing that.
I guess I vote too.
Yeah. Looks like you have a great committee, Pam. You've got Umberto and Noah and Kyle Dodd and Herb Mason. I'm excited to see what happens. This is great. Yes. So thank you to everyone on that committee. Appreciate it. Let's see, next on our list is Resolution 20-530, Primary and Secondary Auditing Officers. This is basically a record-keeping item, and it designates people who may approve warrants for San Juan Island EMS, and that's a Pam thing.
Yes, we need to change. Interim Chief Kutzing was the primary officer for EMS, and I was the secondary, so this changes it to myself being the primary and Nathan Butler being the secondary so that we have a first and a second for approving the warrants.
I move that we approve Resolution 20-531.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Commissioners. This is Resolution 520-530, not 20-531.
Sorry, that's what I meant. I pulled up the other one.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not really, I'm just assuming we're approving, so that's great. Thank you all. Thank you, Pam. And then next we have Resolution 20-531, the Mount Baker Planned Parenthood contract update. You all did get an email about this earlier today. Mm-hmm. Just with a few of the changes and some of the language, and this adjusts from 40,000 a year to 45. And we didn't really feel like it was necessary for Linda McCarthy to attend two of our board meetings a year. We were kind of going to draw that back a little bit. So change the language on that as well. And giving her an option for a second report, but having it be more casual. So is there any discussion on this? Does anyone want to talk about this any further? Do we want to just?
I make a motion.
I think it makes sense. In the future, I'd love to explore the idea of just drafting a new contract. It seems easier. Then you don't have different pieces of paper. We could even talk about a different time frame at this point, given mm-hmm. that we're part way through most of the way through our current contract.
Right.
So I would have been just as happy to amend that text itself.
Okay, noted.
Oh, and quick note on Resolution 20-530, the resolution itself says 20-531. That's why I got a little confused. So let's make sure we change that number on that resolution. The file name is 20-530, but
mine's lighted out. You're right. Yeah. Okay.
We did fix that. I thought we corrected that on all of the packets as well, but it is correct on the signable.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Resolution 20-531, Mount Baker Planned Parenthood contract update.
I move that we accept Resolution 20-531 as is. We adopt.
A second.
Is there any discussion on this? No, we've discussed, I guess. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Approved unanimously. Now we have.
You just need to ask for discussion, though, after the second, by the way. You were on with that.
I know. Sorry. I'm just. Ugh. Let's see. We have. Oh, no. It's my wrong piece of paper. We have our six-year capital improvement plan. This is our second look. And it is resolution 20-532.
Okay. This one, at our last board meeting, I basically was just back to work after my wrist accident and just read the first look through at the board meeting. After that, I went and kind of got some input from retired chiefs of the area, other island fire and EMS chiefs, industry analysts, a Ford dealer that wasn't the one that was proposing this contract, because I wanted to get all of the information and some other points for it. And it seems that, you know, the big thing was whether or not it our ambulance needed to be a gasoline engine or a diesel engine. And it really comes down, you know, some recommended a diesel, that it's more fuel efficient and the idling and over the cost of the lifetime of the engine, where others recommended gasoline. The gasoline engine is about $30,000 cheaper, but it the other two out of three ambulances that we have are diesel. You cannot get a Ford chassis with a diesel. You can't get a van chassis gasoline. So, but most of the experts that I talked to thought that for our terrain, a four-wheel drive would be beneficial. We do not have a four-wheel drive in our fleet, and especially not only in the cold weather, but more importantly, we get a lot of rain and some muddy, a lot kind of more muddy weather than we do the snow, and that really helps in that situation. So it just, you know, comes down to what our purposes are, what you want the new ambulance to be. The current plan is for a diesel with four-wheel drive. And our fleet mechanic and Umberto Orozco, our staff EMT that's in charge of the fleet, agree with those. And we do need to have a capital improvement plan. I know back in 2015 when we looked at a more intensive look on budgets and the community members that were tasked with budget two, we looked at you know, a capital improvement plan. Then the finances got tight and everything, and then so we went away from that plan. And now we have gone back to putting money into the reserve account, that 6512 account that we now had to, you know, have a budget for. And this capital plan for 6 years lays out what we need to put in our reserve fund to keep the money to be there without having a large amount having to come out of a general fund budget. And for myself, I know that, you know, I asked the question of myself of where is the agency going to be in 6 years, you know? So the question of the integration does, you know, play a part in this. But right now, there is no integration, and we do need to look at the agency and our equipment and the age and, you know, years down the road. So that's why it's on the agenda for you to look at and approve or make amendments to if you think we should not, spend for the gasoline or the diesel or that. But for right now, there is no integration. So if we do integrate down the road, whenever that might be, then of course these things can be looked at again, and I'm sure they would be with fire, because it's part of a consolidated budget to look at equipment. So I think they can all be revisited if that happens. But for now, this is the resolution for establishing our capital plan for the next 6 years.
Thank you. Any comments?
Any comments? Did all of you have a chance to read through all of it and understand the implications of?
Yeah, I move to accept the resolution.
Yeah.
Trish?
You're muted, Trish. You're muted.
Sorry. I second that motion.
Yeah, I really think it's important that we have safe equipment for our staff to operate, and to be on the road in old vehicles is just not realistic. We need the vehicle, the ambulance with the chains, because we do have problems with that in the winter. And I appreciate the way you laid everything out. I think that it's very practical. It makes sense. It shows what our reserves are going to be. Any other comments, discussion?
Yeah, I feel like these are the ambulance needs of the island, whether it's under the hospital district or under the fire department, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, so it's what's needed for here. So it's, we should proceed on that just for that reason alone.
I do have, of course, none of us knows when this COVID pandemic is going to let up or end, or what the consequences are going to be financially. The election coming up, that could change some things. But it's a fiscal responsibility that we, keep an eye on these things and keep an eye on our budget very closely. If we see the downward trend in cash or GMT or something, to make the adjustments at the time, instead of letting it get so far below that we would have to make a big adjustment to the budget. So it's just something I'm pledging to keep my eye on monthly, to make sure we don't get into a situation, if we can help it, from like what happened in 2008, 2009, and then 2015, 2016, that we need to keep our reserves up for any unexpected things.
Right.
Well, I think this is very helpful. I hope that we update it annually. I didn't see whether that was part of the program, but I think that's really important to do. Mm-hmm. And this also provides information for integration as well, in terms of what our agency thinks needs to occur for the fleet that we have at this point going forward. So thank you for putting it together.
Yes, thank you, Pam.
Thank you. Yeah, and it was great to have, you did a lot of research, and it sounds like Umberto did as well, and you had a good feedback from Paul, and so I appreciate their work as well.
And I will
I
was just going to say, I'll speak firsthand. I watched the ambulance get stuck in the mud at my neighbor's, who was being picked up a year ago in December, and that ambulance had to be towed out. And that was not a good thing. So to have four-wheel drive chains would be fantastic. They got on the lawn to go back to the door where they could get the patient out, and they just sunk right down. It was not a good situation, and I'm sure they were devastated. Yeah.
I learned far more about ambulances. I know a lot more about ambulances and engines and chassis and we don't than I do about my own car. So ask me ambulance questions, but not about my car. I can't answer.
Okay. If there's no further discussion on this resolution, I will call for a vote on resolution 20-532. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you.
Aye.
let's see. We need to schedule a budget hearing. So we have just scheduled it for November 12th at 5 p.m. This is just a normal special meeting with budget hearing category equivalent to old business or new business. And this does require 2 weeks' notice, so that's why we're addressing it in this meeting. I'm formally announcing that we will have our budget hearing on November 12th at 5 p.m. And we need to figure out what days we are having our November and December board meetings, because we have a couple holidays falling on the days that we would regularly meet, as we normally meet on the third Wednesday of the month. That would be in November, the night before Thanksgiving, which is a challenging time for people. Let's see. And also with the Christmas holiday, the 23rd is the day before Christmas.
I thought we had already decided this some time ago, because I have the 18th of November at 5:30 written down and the 16th of December at 5:30 written down.
And I thought
that maybe we had.
I thought we had, yeah. I mean, I don't think I made those up. I can make up stuff, but I don't think I did.
Is the 18th enough time for all of the budget preparation and such? Is that going to work?
It's a tight turnaround, but, you know, we've done it before. As long as the county gets their reports out, their usual, you know, somewhere between the 8th and the 11th, it can be done. Now, if they are really late coming out, then, you know, it might be not everything in, but we can still have our meeting.
All right. So again, we just have the 18th of November and the 16th of December then for our next two meetings, if that works for everyone.
I mean, if it matters, we're not doing anything other than a Zoom Thanksgiving with our family.
Yeah.
The 25th is not a problem for me, but I don't know how it that suits, if that gives you guys more time for your budget preparation.
I agree. It doesn't make a difference to me either. Pretty quiet Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah.
And Elisa. Same here.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd rather have it on the 18th.
Okay.
If it matters, because it doesn't matter if it's going to be small. I'm still going to be making pumpkin pie and whatnot on the day before, even if I'm the only one eating it. So I'd rather have it on the 18th. I don't care as much about the 23rd of December, because that's two days before Christmas, but I don't care.
I actually will be kind of busy that evening getting ready for Thanksgiving at work. So I would prefer to keep it earlier in the week or earlier in the month if possible. Okay, so we saved our superintendent report to the very end of the meeting because we figured we would cover so many things related to it previously in the meeting. So this is the test run of this concept. And we also sort of talked about how we all do read the report, and we just thought we'd let Pam, you know, update us and touch on some highlights and answer questions. And then we should also talk about how we feel about the report format. So I'll hand it over to you, Pam.
Okay. All right. So as usual, I'm going to start out with the hospital district side of it, the fund 6521. And our revenues be paid, that big payment for the subsidy payment to Peace Health. So that made our cash, it's normally this is the lowest our cash balance gets, is in September. So it's $278,690. The revenue basically was just property taxes, and then the expenses were that was that large payment, and our expense projection is 64% of the budget, and revenues are at 77% of the budget. The property taxes, I'm keeping an eye on those every month compared to the year before, so I can catch a trend down or up. And they were down in September by 7%, and for year to date, down 10%. But I expected them to be less this time and going into October, because back in April, the treasurer's office did let, you know, ask people to pay their whole year's tax bill to help that cash flow. So so that, you know, it might be what we're seeing for that that trend. So, but October, the end of October is when we get most of our tax revenues. So we'll be able to see the totals and see how that has affected property taxes. For EMS, the budget, their property taxes, which is kind of odd. Usually we kind of run about the same, but EMS's were just down 7%. No, they were down 9% in September, but they're still up 3% for the year. So that was kind of odd. Normally they kind of go together, but sometimes the treasurer's office isn't through posting with some of the amounts. And so maybe that happened, or maybe it was just because of the timing of when the you know, taxes came in. So I will keep my eye on that next month. The revenue for EMS in September was 58% of budget projections. And the expenses were 75% of budget projections. We do have that $300,000 now transferred over to the reserve fund in the separate 6512. And just to remind everyone, when we want to move money into the general fund, that does take a resolution to move it back. But we do have now a separate budget for using money out of that. So the GEMT money was lower this month for that, but with COVID and all the different reporting going on, I know I did see some money coming in the deposits I've been looking at for October. So we may get a better update on that next month. The cash for EMS dropped from $1,105,000 down to $990,000 in September, but also September is a different kind of month. When we get October's revenues and property taxes, it's a better look at that particularly. For the hospital district, did a lot of hiring in September. We hired an office manager for San Juan Island EMS, and that hire is going well. She's learning fast and picking up things and working well with all the staff. And it seems that when she gets her bearings about her, she will make it the job her own and do some changing around things. So it's been really, really good to see Sally Thompson take over that position. And we also had ads in the paper for the, of course, the Director of Logistics and Operations. And I gave you an update earlier about that in the hiring committee. We will, there's also still in the works the hiring of a HUB coordinator for the HRSA Care Coordination Grant. And that grant was awarded in September. It's been a little bit slow of a start to get things started, and we really need the hiring of the HUB coordinator to finish and kind of get set up to start with that project. And so when that happens, then you will see the monthly meetings and Trish and Commissioner Lehman and Commissioner Seitz, we will start those monthly meetings and you will get notified. It's just been a little bit slow, and especially since the HUB coordinator hasn't been hired yet. Soon.
Is it close? Because you were interviewing the last 2 weeks.
Yes, the top two, one has been interviewed and the other one had already scheduled a vacation that we could not get to her before she left. So I think that is taking place tomorrow, the 29th, somewhere in there. So we should have a decision soon and just going to that. And of course, we've been worked on the, as you've seen, the capital improvement plan and the budgets. And you know, our budget hearing will be the November 12th. So this time of year, that's the one of the most important things that's happening, our approving of the budgets. We did have a large records request that came in September, which is going to take us a number of months to process. The request was for all agency communications going back to the start of the year, so January 1st through the time that we got the request. Nathan is working on that, we will have expense associated with that request because all of these things will have to go before our attorney to look at before we send them out. So that's an ongoing thing that we will be dealing with for a few months.
That's such a general request, like
yeah.
Agency communications. That's can it be a little more specific and concise? So it just doesn't. I'm surprised that can be something that can be asked for.
They did list all of the employees' names, so it basically was all our employees, paid staff, and all, and the time period. Nathan, you want to talk more about the request?
Yeah, I don't really know what to say about it. I mean, it's a big request. The size isn't really relevant. They did list specific date ranges to specific people's records. I don't know. We could probably argue over it with them. Our attorney and I talked about it. We're not inclined to do so. I think when it comes to records requests, we tend to be super, super cautious. You make a decision, it seems reasonable. Some court decides later you screwed up. You owe penalties for every single day.
Cool.
And they really add up. So it's just not really worth fighting.
Okay. It's just a big time suck for you, and you all have so much to do.
You know, honestly, it's easier for me because basically I just have our IT contractor search all the accounts for all the emails. The time suck is our attorney, which costs more than me. So actually it'd be a lot better if it was a time suck for me. but they have public records attorneys and their rates are extremely reasonable for an attorney. And they're pretty quick and pretty efficient. So fingers crossed.
Okay.
But this is sort of inevitable. Anytime you make a decision that people don't like, you always get a records request. It is what it is.
They just have to go through the emails and make sure there aren't any like HIPAA violations or any sort of information in there that is would, you know, violate.
Yeah. There are certain, I mean, there's all these rules, you know, like there are certain documents that you could destroy if you wish, but if you hadn't destroyed them, then they're subject to disclosure, and certain things can be exempted regardless, certain confidential things. I don't know. There's a lot of rules. I can actually do it myself. I know how, but we usually just have our attorney do it because, again, the risk of getting it wrong is just so high. I mean, if you do screw up on one thing, you know, it's this huge penalty and it's just very, very costly. And it's easy. I mean, it's easy to do. Even, you know, our county has gotten in trouble over things, and you read over the court decision and you're thinking in your head, realistically, that judge clearly does not expect us to be able to do anything other than pay an attorney to do everything for us. They're clearly not really thinking that we can reasonably figure this out on our own. You read the RCW, it says something very plainly. And then you go read the judge's decision, and it's like the opposite. And I just don't, it's not reasonable. But anyway, it is what it is, and we just kind of have to deal with it.
All right. Thank you for that.
Thanks.
As you can tell, I get a little worked up about it. But yeah, sorry. Okay, I'm done.
As far as the statistical report for EMS, there were 124 runs this month for September. We are about 11% behind what the runs were from a year ago. The average number of responders was still 2.7. And there were the usual Island Air had more calls, 28, Airlift Northwest, 12, and then Life Flight and Navy and the Coast Guard had none. Our time of page until the ambulance rolling was still good. It was 2 minutes and 5 seconds, and those were still under all our suburban and urban benchmarks. And again, usually town has more calls, and this month they had 79% of the calls. And Outer Islands, we had zero calls for inside of the district. And as we touched on earlier, the marine response for the Outer Islands and all is being looked at by Dr. Corsa, the medical program director. So when that is finalized, and then that we'll go back over that. Our union negotiations have been going well. We've had two meetings. Our next one is November 5th, and it will be the most involved meeting because it gets down and talks about specific things like PTO tables and wage tables and things like that. But been really pleased with the first two meetings of how everyone's working together. So I don't see a problem with our third meeting. We're still doing our operations under the COVID-19 response model, where there are COVID shifts and people are filling those shifts. Still, there's been a little bit of decline in some of those, but just want to recognize Brad Creasy and Trevor Bolton because they put in more than 100 hours for our COVID shifts. And then Austin Foster, Dwight Colley, Kyle Dodd, and Margaret Longley put in more than 40 hours. So thanks to these responders that are really regulars and dedicated to putting in the hours for our shifts. Instituted the model of the volunteers being able to respond back to calls outside of the station. So that is still catching on. And the volunteers getting used to listening to their pagers or their apps so that they can respond to the calls. And This is the time of year also in the staff training where they're looking at their all of their hours. Some renew at the end of the month or end of November, so they are come in and make sure they have everything they need to get checked off from Wei Shang Kun's, the training officer, and then they renew with the state. So that's we've had more people come in and seeing more people doing that. So it's good to see them in the station checking on that. And the Lainey is still seeing a lot of patients, and also is doing the training for American Heart Association. That's on hold, but people can go online and complete their online instructions at elearning.heart.org. And then once they complete their course, then they set up a time with Lainey and do the skills. And then they receive their cards by e-card. And there's been more people renewing that way since the COVID is going on longer. So because they need to get their cards and their skills checked off to be able to continue that. So, and we still continue to give out the infant and car seats and things like that. We've had several people hear about the program and the families coming in and calling. So that's good to know that people are still learning that EMS does provide that service. And that's the highlights. Do y'all have any questions from anything you read or want to know next time?
That was very informative, Superintendent Hutchins. Thanks. I did have one question, and I think it's just a comment, actually, to look into. In the report, it says that 100% of the calls were under 20 minutes for the overall. But when you look at some of the individual breakouts, not all of the calls were under 20 minutes. For example, Mid-Island, 92% were under 20, and then 87% were under 20 minutes for the North End, which suggests that some were actually over 20 minutes. So I don't know if there's something to look into there.
Okay.
Kyle, I did the statistics. It's my fault, I'm sure. Sorry.
I could be wrong, but you know, when you look at it, it says 92% under 20. I think that means some word. So just something to sort out next.
Yeah. I know that they throw out on some of those the outliers. So I don't know if that happened on those ones, but yeah, I'll look into those.
And yeah. Just generally, as keep an eye on the revenues, right? It looks like some of those are well below, and they're not just things that taxes might explain. Certainly the GEMT is at 33% of budget projections, three quarters of the way into the year. That's low, and that's not a small number. So keep us posted on how all of that and other reimbursements come in.
And it's interesting that we're still trending at like 10 to 11% below normal call volume, still even now under, you know, just since COVID, and that does reflect in billing too. So it does affect our revenue. Thank you. I think that worked nicely to have the report at the end. So I know it makes Pam's portion of the meeting, you know, wait till the end, but thank you.
That's okay. Oh, one more thing. Nathan did attend a meeting today on the CODAN project. And that's moving along quite nicely. Today it was all about more technical things, but it finished its design phase today, and now it's moving to the staging part where they're ordering and building and things like that. So they're really working on that really diligently.
Exciting. If there isn't anything else, I see that we have two members of the audience still with us, and that moves us to audience participation. Does anybody have anything to say, Nathan, that you're aware of?
No, nobody sent me any emails during the board meeting.
All right. Well, thank you all very much. Are there any commissioner comments before we close? I just want to thank Trish for taking on this issue of Hospice of the Northwest. Thank you, Trish. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Glad I can. Yeah. Okay. It's important.
Hugely.
Okay. If there isn't anything else, we'll see all the rest of you on the 12th of November for our budget hearing.
Hey.
Okay. Good evening, everybody.
Half an hour earlier. We'll see you then.
Earlier.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thank you
all. Everybody.
Good evening. Good night. Okay. Good night.
Night.
Thanks, Nathan.